The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke, chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God, who is Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. So Henri Nguyen, the Dutch Catholic priest, I don't know if have any of you read any of his material? He's a really great writer, lovely writer, really gentle. He taught extensively about spirituality, identity, pastoral ministry, and social justice. Pastoral ministry, social justice were really sort of something that he was very, very fond of writing about. But at the center of his life's work was a hunger for people to know how loved they are by God. And much of his work focuses on this core message of just how loved people are by God. In 1992, he preached a sermon at the Crystal Cathedral in California, where he discussed the central question, who am I? Who am I? It's something that we probably asked ourselves as we go through life. And it changes, doesn't it, as we go through life? Who am I changes. So when we're a child with our parents, we are a child. Who am I? I'm a child of my parents, or I'm a sibling to my brothers or sister. And then we sort of leave home, and we head off and we may be blessed to get married, and then we may be a wife. And then we have children, hopefully, and then we're a mother. And it sort of goes on, and all the way through life, who am I can change. But at the core, at the center of it, there is a constant. And that's what we'll be looking at in a little bit. But in a Nguyen's sermon on that day, he outlined how often when people are asked, who am I, they will answer the question in three ways. I am what I do, I am what other people say about me, and I am what I have. So I am what I do, I am what other people say about me, and I am what I have. I thought about this when I imagined the scene in Luke's Gospel today for his version of the Sermon on the Mount, which in Luke is known as the Sermon on the Plain. So before we get into looking at Luke's account, looking at his version, we need to be aware of some of the differences between Luke and Matthew's version of the sermon. Matthew depicts Jesus as going up the mountain to give the sermon. What does going up the mountain remind you of? Does it remind you of Moses ascending Mount Sinai to be with God and receive the Ten Commandments? Whereas Luke depicts Jesus as descending the mountain. And we know that that was what Moses did when he came to deliver the law, the Ten Commandments, to the Jewish people. So one has Jesus going up, the other has Jesus coming down. The other difference is Luke was written mostly for Gentile people. So his version of the sermon is shorter than Matthew's, and also isn't sort of focused on explaining the Jewish law to the people who are listening. So in our passage today, we have Jesus coming down the mountain from where he's been praying after he's appointed 12 of his disciples to be his apostles. And he walks among the crowd made up of people who've come to hear him teach and also probably primarily to be healed by him. They've come from 160 kilometers away. That's a huge distance back then, isn't it? I mean, even today, if we go in a car, it will take us over an hour to get somewhere to cover the 160 kilometers. It would take us over an hour if we're doing the speed limit. For Jesus' day, when most of the people would have been walking, 160 kilometers was huge. But that's how far Tyre and Sidon were from where Jesus was giving this sermon today. Along with the crowd and the 12 are other disciples as well. John Nolan describes the makeup of the multitude as the disciples and would-be disciples. So we know that we heard last week that Jesus has now entered the phase. He's got the 12 disciples and he's now entered to the phase of his ministry where he's discipling those who are following him, the 12 especially, so that they will be equipped for when he's gone to be able to carry on sharing the good news with everybody. All of the people that were gathered there at that time are about to hear Jesus talk about blessings and woes. So while Jesus is walking among the crowd and healing them, he looks up to his disciples to deliver his sermon. So we know from Luke that this sermon was aimed well and squarely and truly at his disciples. Jesus wanted them to hear what he was saying. I find it how interesting. It's interesting that Luke really does want to emphasize this point. Even though the crowd is listening, Jesus' primary focus as he delivers his list of blessings and woes that have become known as the Beatitude is to his disciples. Now, a beatitude is a blessing. We know this, don't we? And to most Jewish people, the word blessing evoked images of a long life, wealth, a large, healthy family, maybe with lots of sons, a full barn, and defeated enemies. What Jesus did instead was focus on attitudes, our attitude towards circumstances, people, ourselves, and God. He emphasized four essentials for true happiness. So there were four essentials: faith in God, love toward others, honesty with ourselves, and obedience towards God. Or to put it another way, Jesus' list of blessings and woes names some fundamental views of human self-identity. Who am I? Am I what I have? Am I what I do? Am I what people say about me? And Jesus' various answers to the who am I question are these: I'm poor, I'm hungry, I'm weeping, I'm rejected and ridiculed, I'm rich, I'm content with myself, I'm laughing about my success, I am someone who everyone admires. Or as Nguyen summarizes it, I am what I do, weep or succeed. I am what I have, plenty or not enough. I am what people say or think about me, good or ill, truth or lies. Underlying the blessings and the woes is an unavoidable understanding about connection. The disciples have left their jobs and way of life to learn from their rabbi, and they've chosen to identify with Jesus. The crowds who come to hear and be healed have only come for the moment. Their connection with Jesus is always, always going to be a fleeting one. The connection that the disciples will have with Jesus will be deep, and it will be a lasting one, one that will go for the rest of their lives. The crowds, on the other hand, it's a really fleeting, fleeting connection that they have with Jesus. Nguyen's desire for people to know how loved they are by God was for a reason. Along with being extremely biblical, it's also life-giving, worldview transforming, and purpose shaping. In other words, it's exactly what every invitation from God in Scripture is: an invitation to be firmly fixed in Christ and God. What Jesus is saying here isn't that what we as his disciples must choose is to be poor or hungry or always full of mourning or willingly seek out rejection and defamation. That's not what it's all about. Just as we're not to seek out being rich or content with ourselves, or maybe becoming heartless to the needs of others while we live the good life, or cultivate a persona that makes us a friend to all. The point that Jesus is making in the blessings is all about connection. He's helping his disciples understand something about their identity that they can hold on to when the bad times come. And we know the bad times came for them. So he's wanting the disciples to understand about this connection. In spite of having experiences of need, poverty, hunger, grief, rejection, because his disciples are connected to him, they're blessed. Their identity, their connection, their rootedness in Christ pushes them forward into the future that God has in store for them. On the other hand, with the woes, instead of focusing on God and Jesus, the people appear to be connected only to themselves and to the present moment. Life was difficult for the people of Jesus' day. There's no getting around it. Life was difficult for the majority of them. And there wasn't much hope that things would improve. Many of them thought happiness came from having great possessions, or holding an exalted position, or enjoying the pleasures and popularity that money can buy. But in the Message version of the Bible, Eugene Peterson paints a picture of a dark and woeful future. Have any of you read the Message version of the Bible? It's a really interesting version to read, because Eugene Peterson speaks in very plain, down-to-earth English language. It's a very sort of down-to-earth one. This is his version of verses 24 and 26 of Luke's Gospel today. But it's trouble ahead if you think you've made it. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Quite plain, isn't it? Quite sort of socks you in the eye sometimes, what he says, and really gets you thinking about it. Imagine how surprised the people were, or the disciples were, when they heard Jesus describing happiness in terms that were just the opposite of what they expected. They discovered what they needed most was not a change in circumstances, but a change in their relationship to God and in their outlook on life. The Beatitudes of Luke's Gospel point to someone who knows us better than we know ourselves. We have a God who knows what hurts us, what makes us happy, what makes us angry, and loves us just the same. A God who seeks to give us a life of blessing, who seeks the best for us. This passage tells us that God wishes blessing for us, that when we encounter those parts of our lives that are not well off, we're invited to open ourselves to the presence and care of a God who blesses us and promises us abundant life when we're connected to Him. This connection means that when the storms of life lash us, we're flexible enough to move with the prevailing conditions without falling away. So Jesus stands among the crowds, speaking to his disciples about identity and connection. And he invites them to continue to choose to be his disciples, to be rooted in him rather than themselves or their circumstances. He's laying before them the mindset which will allow them to be rooted in the truth, no matter what circumstances they find themselves in. Elsewhere, Jesus says, "In this world, we will have trouble, but we are the blessed disciples of the one who has overcome the world." I think a life of blessing can't be explained. Rather, it's something that we come to realize as we reflect on our lives with all of its ups and downs. As we struggle with what hurts and worries us, as well as what brings us joy, the happiness, the blessing that God offers us is a lasting one. And to be blessed is to be loved. The Lord be with you.